Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
This is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. We have a great guest at the bottom of the hour, Sarah Davidson Ivan Iga, who's the physician, is the PhD, director of the Cornell Alliance for Science and the senior associate director of international programs in Cornell's College of Agriculture and Life Science. So she is the one who will be talking about GMOs. Are they bad? What should you know about GMO food? What should all of us know about GMO food? And that is really coupled with a big announcement this week. What's the big announcement? The FDA allowed the sale of GMO salmon. We're going to talk to her about that and what it really means and what this really means that's so important. There are over, obviously, 795 million people globally who are hungry and undernourished. Today, hunger and malnourishing and malnutrition are the number one risk in those countries. We'll talk to her about the opposite point of view. She's obviously important in talking about hunger and why that's so important. The opposite point of view is, well, GMOs are a risk. And even though they're good at helping produce food, there still is such a risk for cancer, for getting things out of control, the risks we don't know. For example, do those salmon produce the same fat? That's the topic we'll go over with Sarah Ivanega. Now, we've also got a wonderful show lined up for you on other topics, and I'm going to talk about that. For example, why is toast a potential link to cancer? This is a new scientific report issued by the British government's food safety watchdog. We'll talk about that too. We're going to start with, in fact, preparing a turkey. That is, how to safely prepare your turkey and other Thanksgiving dishes. We'll get to that in a few seconds. The Cleveland Clinic is starting random drug testing of all caregivers. How do you feel about that? You can email, you can call us. Better than emailing us today. Call us, 844-305-7800. 844-305-7800. Ask for Engineer Ben, and he'll put you on the line. We'll talk about what random drug testing does and why we're doing it. Addiction is at the highest level ever in Ohio. We've got to start talking about recovery and how to get into recovery with it at such a high level. Almost everyone knows someone who's got a problem. Energy drinks are here to stay. Here's what happens to your body after you down an energy drink. And we want you to have coffee, though. Coffee does help you live longer. We'll talk about how much. We talked a little bit about toast and cancer. We'll come back to that. And another wild thing, color-changing dressings. That is right. You put on a different dressing that is on a wound. So if you have an incision, they put a dressing on it that will change color depending on if you get infected and with what infects it. And then we're going to go over, we'll hopefully get all of those in by the bottom of the hour. And at the bottom of the hour, Sarah D. Ivaniga talking about GMO food and the benefits to hunger and wiping out hunger from it. And then we'll talk about the relative hazards. We always have 2 hours of the show. The second hour this time with Gary Ginsberg, as always, is our guest, and he's going to talk to us about beached and dead whales in Chile. What does that have to do with the grapes you and I eat? Arsenic in old cemeteries is Dr. G's mailbag this week. I have an apartment that's supposed to be smoke-free. I'm still smelling my neighbor smoking. I complained to building management, but they have not interceded. I have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. That means it's a disease made worse by smoking. What are my options? And then Dr. G is going to also give his take on the GMO salmon, what he thinks about it in that segment. But let's get started, and we've talked enough about what we're going to do. Let's actually tell you some of the things. So one of the stories that we didn't mention was about diabetics and nerve damage. So diabetics get damage to their nerves when they have too much sugar chronically gets into the cells, into nerve cells, and that sugar doesn't get out as easily because it gets metabolized in diabetics to sorbitol. And the sorbitol and sorbitate are big molecules that don't get out of the nerve cell. So they call the nerve cells to swell. The nerve cells swell against a casing. So they're encased in a little rubber. It's not rubber. It's actually a healthy fat. They're encased in a little, what you would call casing. But if they swell, they push against it. That pushing against it damages the cell. And that's what causes the chronic pain of diabetes, and it's in the foot and glove distribution, that is in your hands and feet. And why is it in your hands and feet? Because those are the nerves that are the longest nerve, that have the greatest chance of getting this swelling against the casing. So you'd say, well, why don't we just take away the casing or remove it? Would that hurt? And the answer is it doesn't hurt function, but it does, it is require a surgical procedure, and that has been done. But this story wasn't about that. It was about that half of the diabetics end up with this, what we call the glove and stocking diabetic neuropathy. It's both pain and it's lack of sensation. The lack of sensation is almost as bad, because what the lack of sensation does is it allows the diabetic to get nerve injuries or injuries to the feet and infections of the feet without recognizing it. So diabetics with this have to be really careful of where they step and what they've got around their feet, and to wear shoes that totally cover them. But with that, you'd say, well, the key, keeping your blood sugar down. And if you said that, you are absolutely right, because the key for this is keeping the blood sugar down so that you don't get the sugar in the cells, so that they don't get the swelling with making sorbitol inside the cells, which causes the swelling. And by the way, the procedure which we call to break away the sheath that binds the nerves together is called just that, desheathing. But it's a tough procedure, and it's only done at a couple places, such as the Hopkins and the Cleveland Clinic. Hasn't got widespread acceptance because it is very tough to do it. So that's one of the news stories of the week. And another story that we're going to talk about that we didn't cover in the major stories, but we'll get to the major stories after the news, after the break at 16 or 17 after. That main story, the story we'll talk about now, is women with an apple-shaped body are at risk for an eating disorder. So this is an interesting story, and you would expect that. The women who have apple-shaped, that have more fat in their intestine, in their midriff, in their guts, if you will. We call it omental fat, which is women with more fat around the center of the body as opposed to pears. Most men gain fat around the middle, and they're at risk for this too. But women with this tend to have more gorge eating. That is, they lose control when eating, even though the percentage of body fat doesn't predict it, whether it's body fat in the hips or body fat in the belly. If you just look at all body fat, doesn't predict it, but body fat in key areas does. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. In case you missed the finish of the last segment, and I may have misspoken on it, women with more fat around the center of their body were at greater risk of developing an eating disorder. What does that mean? It means that for each 1 point increase in the percentage of abdominal fat, and it's really easy to get 1% increase if you gain weight, you have a 53% increase in the risk of developing loss of control when eating. Even if your body fat isn't different than someone who's pear-shaped. So apple-shaped, and men do get apple-shaped, and men get the same problem. You tend to do binge eating, a lot of eating at night, big meals. That's the problem. Well, let me switch subjects and go to my number one subject that I wanted to cover today, which is turkey preparation. This is actually from the American Association of Poison Control Centers. And why? Because while Thanksgiving is a great time for you and your family and friends to gather, it's my favorite holiday, although I'll tell you my wife didn't like it much, and I'll come back to that why, and enjoy a meal together. This time of year is also associated with an increased risk, a sizable risk, of food poisoning. In fact, there literally are tens of thousands of cases of food poisoning because we don't handle leftovers very well. And maybe it's also because we don't cook it well in the beginning. First of all, why was it not my wife's favorite? Well, my wife used to be on the sexual abuse team at the University of Chicago. That's in Chicago, Illinois, obviously. And it turns out because family members get together, it is actually the time of most sexual abuse on younger kids. Horrible. So she was on that team, and would invariably she would get Thanksgiving to do this on every other year, and it was busier than heck with all these poor kids and families who had had this sexual acting out on young kids. So if you got young kids, make sure that Uncle Andy doesn't get to see your kids alone. You want this to be a total group. So the point is there is let me just finish this. Sorry. There is a problem with turkey preparation as well. And that is, so it's bad enough you've got the sexual abuse risk. Obviously, keep eye on your kids if you've got young kids. There also is another problem, and that is we don't cook the turkeys correctly. An estimated 1 in 6, or 48 million people, contract in the U.S. contract food poisoning each year, with 128,000 of those needing hospitalization, 3,000 needing, in fact, dying of the illnesses associated with food poisoning. And believe it or not, Thanksgiving is the leading time of Thanksgiving and Christmas leftovers are the leading things that cause food poisoning in the United States. Usually we suffer food poisoning, and you'll notice the symptoms within hours of eating, often include nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, cramping, and diarrhea. Not good symptoms. But food poisoning can last anywhere from a few hours to several days. And while most of the food poisoning episodes resolve, thank God, to your gut bacteria and your natural defenses without any problem, especially with pregnant women and young kids, the problem is that those people with what we would call vulnerable immune systems suffer. So what do you do? Well, keep meat, poultry, seafood, and eggs separate from all other foods in your grocery bag when you're shopping and when preparing. Wash your hands frequently. Wash the cutting board frequently. And then when you're putting things into, when you're cooking, especially the turkey, we'll talk about how you do the dressing in a second. But remember, when you want it to be at least 165, and you need to use a food thermometer. Many turkeys come with a food thermometer in them that pops up when they get to 165 internally. If they don't, and even if they do, get your own meat thermometer. They're inexpensive. Stick it into the turkey and make sure that it gets over 165 internally. It's not external, actually in the meat. Remove the stuffing. Now, if you put the stuffing into the turkey, and it's obviously, you get a, it tastes better that way. I agree, it does taste better. But if you do, remove the stuffing immediately after the turkey is finished and put it in a separate serving dish, because the cross-contamination from undercooked areas and just from being left out in time, that'll hurt it. And you've got to refrigerate it. All you have is 2 hours. So make sure, even if you're sitting around eating, you put the leftovers in the refrigerator quickly, within 2 hours, at 40 degrees below to help reduce the risk of bacterial growth. Because once it starts to growing, it's really the leftovers of turkey where we have the food poisoning problem. Prevent cross-contamination, obviously, by completely and securely covering food in the refrigerator and covering it so it doesn't get one food to another, and consume or freeze leftovers within 3 to 4 days. Now, let's go back. Wash your hands, kitchen service, utensils, cutting boards, every time you change what you're doing. Your hands, too. The cutting board, too. Wash them thoroughly. Even if all you do is rinse it off with cold water several times, that's way better than most people do. And wash produce, but not eggs, meat, or poultry, which can spread. That's right, you don't want to wash the eggs or the meat or the poultry. You want to just cook it. By washing your poultry before you put it in the oven, you're spreading it around the kitchen. And use the microwave, cold water, the refrigerator method to defrost your frozen meat or poultry. Don't thaw or marinate these items on the counter, and be sure to cook them immediately after thawing. The bacteria that cause food poisoning multiply quickest in the danger zone, which is between 40 and 140 degrees. That's where your food is out. So that's what you want to make sure you don't do. So keys, wash, wash, wash. It's like we say to physicians when they go around from room to room, wash every time you change a room, every time. Wash more than you can possibly wash the knives, wash the cutting board, wash your hands, but don't wash until you've actually cut the turkey and cooked the turkey. Don't wash the turkey before you've cooked it. Don't wash the meat until. And remember, wash in cold so it stays cold when it's being, I'm sorry, thaw in cold so it stays cold while you're thawing, or in a microwave where you're heating it and then cook it immediately. Refrigerate leftovers promptly and consume them quickly. No sitting around for more than 2 hours before you get to the refrigerator with leftovers. So as someone would say, someone just emailed me and said, I don't have any leftovers. I make sure I overeat totally on Thanksgiving. No, don't overeat totally on Thanksgiving. Unless you, maybe you should only cook enough so that you only eat on Thanksgiving. But in fact, all of us probably enjoy leftovers. Just refrigerate them really quickly. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We have a wonderful guest who's going to be controversial. Sarah Davidson Evanega, and I hope I'm pronouncing it, is from Alliance for Life Sciences, a communication-based nonprofit organization that places scientific innovation, agriculture, biotechnology, and genetically modified organisms at the heart of any discussion. We'll be right back. Stay well on Radio MD.
Being your best means nothing slows you down, whether it's a hard day of chores around the house, that weekend marathon, or smashing through a workout. One thing remains the same. Recovery must occur before you can be your best. Michael's Recovery Zyme supports the body's natural inflammatory response, resulting in greater muscle recovery. Recovery Zymes is the missing link you need to be your best. Recovery Zyme's formulation of systemic enzymes and herbs, coupled with an advanced enteric coating, allows Recovery Zymes to work where needed, the muscles and tissues. Our team at Michael's also uses these formulations, so we price our products to be cost-effective because we believe that excellent health should be affordable. Recovery Zymes is the highest potency and most affordable muscle recovery formulation in the market. Elite athletes and weekend warriors all agree systemic enzymes are the missing link. Michael's Recovery Zymes provides them so you can move forward and achieve your goals. You provide the passion, we'll provide the support.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about
cancer?
That.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. And treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer. But find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Do you want greater intimacy and to have a better sex life? Who doesn't, really? Dr. Kara, when we think of high blood pressure, stress levels, we have so much of it, and it can turn both people in the couple off. What do you recommend? Are there any products that you like to recommend?
Tell my patients there are the four pillars. The four pillars are diet, exercise, sleep, and stress reduction. Each one of those independently can significantly improve sexual function.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
Mary Jo, what is the communication end of this all?
The best thing to do is decide together that you want the relationship. When you want the relationship, then basically it's not my needs or your needs. It's about doing what's best for the relationship. What's best for any relationship is good communication and intimacy.
Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Only half of adults in the U.S. get the 2.5 hours per week of aerobic physical activity recommended for health benefits. Walkers are more likely to get the recommended amount. More adults are walking, but better spaces and more places are still needed. Communities can promote walking when they create long-range plans, such as master plans, and design safe streets for walkers. Communities can also ensure sidewalks and paths are in good repair and have easy-to-read signs. Employers can create walking programs, encourage walking breaks and meeting, and identify nearby paths or routes. Increase your physical activity by starting a walking group. Participate in local planning for walking paths and new sidewalks. Or work with parents and schools to encourage walking to school where it's safe. For more information, visit www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with me, Dr. Mike Roizen. And it is a live show. You can call in if you've got questions, 844-305-7800. My sister, Marsha Lowry, who lives in Connecticut, where we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, emailed me during the break and said, I'm preparing the turkey following your instructions. You might want to tell people you won't be live. In fact, next week we won't be live, but it won't be a repeat show. I'm pre-recording one before I go to her place. So Wednesday evening, I'm pre-recording, and we've got sensational guest for you. I'll tell you about him in a few minutes, but it's a sensational guest we got lined up. So although there are about 3 shows in the next 6 weeks that we will not be doing live, they all will be new shows with the latest medical information and new guests. We're just going to pre-record them rather than do it. So, Marsha, thank you for the note. But we have right now to switch topics and go to a new project, the Cornell Alliance for Science, which hopes to improve science-based agricultural communication through biotechnology. And Sarah Davidson-Evanega, and Sarah, correct me on that pronunciation, is the director of the Cornell Alliance for Science and the Senior Associate Director of International Programs in Cornell's College of Agriculture and Life Science. And she's going to talk to us about the importance of understanding food knowledge and food science and the communication about that. She actually completed her BA in biology at Reed College, which is in Oregon, and lured by, this is funny, but this is what her statement says, lured by great weather, plenty of water, and an unbeatable intellectual environment, she went from Cornell, she went from Reed to Cornell for her PhD and has remained after there to help lead a global project on protecting the world's wheat from wheat stem rust. Sarah now serves as the principal investigator and director for the Cornell Alliance for Science. Sarah, thanks very much for coming on, and I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Mike. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Tell me, let's go right into, I'm going to talk first about the salmon that got approved last week. The salmon that the FDA said we can have, this farm-raised, if you will, engineered salmon. And tell us what's different about it and why we should be happy about it.
Yeah, so it was a big week last week. As you say, the first genetically engineered animal food crop, food product was approved for human consumption, and it's an Atlantic salmon modified for fast growth, and it has its modification is two genes from two different fish, a Chinook salmon and the ocean pout. So fish genes going into a fish, if you like, nothing too dramatic. And what we have here is a GMO that can benefit both people and the environment. So to date, most of the other genetically engineered foods that have been approved for use in the U.S. have really benefited farmers more than anyone. And here we really have a consumer oriented trait. So we can grow healthy fish in less time with less feed and less inputs. And so it's a win for the consumer in the form of a healthy, better access to a healthy fish. And it's also a win for the environment because we will have less pressure on wild fish stock. So it's a really exciting day.
Now, the question we have, which is one that I had as well, but from a listener, Tom says, does it produce or does it have the same quality of fats as wild salmon?
Right. So there's no substantial difference in the fish that we'll consume, whether it's a farm-raised salmon that we might have in our grocery store today, or this kind of salmon that's grown on land in tanks, or wild salmon. They're all good nutritious sources of protein.
Well, they may be good nutrition. Now, what is different about every other fish? Only salmon and ocean trout have avoided learning how to eat corn and soy meal. And the corn and soy meal changes the fat content of the others. So the DHA, the healthy omega-3 in fish oil, that has gone down substantially in all fish but salmon and ocean trout. So what you're saying is these fish aren't going to be fed and haven't learned with those genetic modifications to eat corn and soy meal, so they will still have the same healthy fats.
That's right. They'll still have the same healthy fats.
Okay. So, because we've been trying to find that out for, believe it or not, 2 years since this company announced they were going to go to the FDA with this, and haven't been able to find out whether these salmon, different from, if you will, farm-raised salmon. Farm-raised salmon are the only fish that have not learned to eat corn and soy meal. And so I was just hoping that this modification didn't teach them that they could eat corn and soy meal and develop different fats in their content.
The modification really is just about growing faster with fewer input. And that helps.
So the modification was in a growth hormone, if you will, gene that doesn't turn off, if you will, the way normal salmon and even the farm-raised salmon turn off their growth hormone, as I understand it.
That's right.
Okay, so talk to us about, now, when I was growing up, the population time bomb and the lack of food for feeding the population was a big item that was one of the things we talked about, and in fact we're saying this is going to be an issue, that we aren't going to have enough food. What's happened over the last 30 years to food and farmers' efficiency?
Well, I mean, I think you said it yourself. I mean, we really need to be able to produce more food with less inputs, with less negative impact on the environment, and using less land and less natural resources. And that's, I mean, just to go back to the Aqua Advantage salmon that we were just talking about, that's one of the benefits that you can, you know, grow this salmon and produce more salmon meat for our growing population that, you know, increasingly does want to have a meat-based, protein-rich diet. And so this is an example where you can basically increase the efficiency of growing that protein source. And that's what we need to do. And we need to do that in animals, and we also need to do it in plants. So what we really believe is an important part of the solution to feeding a growing population is to be able to use and harness science and new innovations in order to grow more food with less resources. So we need to intensify production. We need to do it smart. We need to do it with the new tools that we have at our disposal.
When we come back, what I want to ask you about is the other side, or the question everyone has is, what about the dangers of genetically modified organisms? Is there any, in your opinion? What are we doing to monitor and to control that danger, if there is some? And then the other question we have from Thomas R. from Florida is, he has emailed in and said, is there a risk to Roundup? Since that's part of the genetically modified soy and corn meal, he has indicated. So when we come back, we're going to get to those questions with Sarah Davidson Evanega, the director of the Cornell Alliance for Science.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken, Frank's canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, If you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, M.D.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. We've been talking with Sarah Davidson Ivaniga, the director of the Cornell Alliance for Science and the senior associate director of international programs in Cornell's College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. She's been talking to us, and by the way, the email for her area, www.allianceforscience.cornell.edu. She's been talking to us about the risks and benefits of genetically modified food. One of the strong benefits is it helps eliminate hunger and undernourishment for 795 million people who are in that situation today. So, and one of the risks we obviously get brought up is genetically modified food a risk? And if so, what are we doing to monitor that risk? So, Sarah, can you help us address those?
Sure. So, we have a great regulatory system in this country, and that those agencies monitor carefully and make sure that nothing unsafe gets out into the food supply. And we've been living with GMOs for a few decades now, and there's zero evidence in science that GMOs are harmful to human health. So we can feel good about that. On the contrary, we know that there are a lot of dire consequences to food insecurity, and we know that there are a lot of dire consequences to some of the pesticides that the use of GMOs can actually help displace. So there are GMOs out there that reduce the need or eliminate the need for insecticides, for example, that do have negative impacts on human health. So, for example, we can control the diamondback moth for cabbage growers using genetics instead of insecticides. Or there's a beautiful case in Bangladesh, for example, where an insect-resistant eggplant dramatically reduces the need for pesticides. And as a result, has a real boon for farming families in Bangladesh.
So one of the concerns is the WHO declared Roundup, which is used in much higher concentrations, if you will, and by individuals locally in the concentration they said, but they declared Roundup as a probable carcinogen, meaning likely to cause cancer with use. And so the question is, don't some of the, at least I understood that whether it was corn or soy, with that is GMO modified so that Roundup is effective with it in eradicating pests. Is that a concern? Should we worry about that?
Well, let's remember what else is a probable carcinogen. The coffee you drink, I mean, lots of other things that are part of our lives. And other agencies in Europe, for example, their food safety organization has declared that it's not a threat to our health. And so there's a lot of controversy around that statement. But I think what we need to remember is that when we consume genetically modified corn or genetically modified soy, we're not consuming glyphosate. So that is a fairly benign agricultural herbicide that is much less than the chemicals that it replaced. And so it's used to eliminate weeds in fields, but it's not actually something that we consume when we consume the processed food that contains corn and soy. So we have to keep that in perspective. And it's also important to remember that, you know, not all GMOs are created equal. We hear a lot about Roundup Ready and herbicide tolerant corn, for example, or soy, but there's a lot of other products out there that people haven't heard about and are great examples of how genetic engineering can both improve the environment and provide benefits to consumers, and especially provide benefits for smallholder farmers in the developing world. So we don't want to get hung up on this, you know, controversy about glyphosate when there are a lot of other GMOs out there that have really some great benefits to the environment and to people.
Do you think the question came in from a Mary, and she emailed in and said, why should not or shouldn't we have GMOs labeled so we can make decision of whether we want to spend extra money eating non-GMOs? Is there a reason why that shouldn't occur?
Why we shouldn't have labeling?
Yeah, in other words, she said,
I think labels can be really useful tools for consumers, but what we want to promote evidence-based decision making, both at, you know, a policy level as well as at the consumer level. And so what I would say is that if we're going to have labels, they need to be labels that are based in science and that really help consumers make good decisions. So if we're going to label something, let's make sure it's a smart label that really helps consumers make good choices.
Well, don't we want also to let people make decisions based on their own, if you will, influences? So in other words, what Mary said is we don't have GMOs around for long enough. And I don't know whether this is true or not, but she said some GMOs we have not had around long enough that I want to know about them, just like I want to know about the country of origin of the food I eat, since she said it's probably much safer in the United States than food raised in Chile or Mexico, or fruits or vegetables raised in Chile or Mexico. One, is that right, that food is safer in the United States when grown in the United States? And two, should she have the right to know that, do you think?
Well, I don't want to make any broad sweeping statements about the safest origin of food, but I do think that you know, consumers are curious about a lot of different aspects of their food, and certainly the organic label has given a lot of consumers some confidence in knowing about the cultivation methods that are used when the food is grown. But you know, there's chemicals natural chemicals used in organic production too. So what the caller might be curious to know is, you know, what kinds of pesticides are you know, approved for use for organic growers versus what kinds of pesticides are approved for use for conventional growers. And then what I would encourage your listener to think about is what GMOs are out there that actually reduce the need for pesticides, because that's the kind of GMO that really is organic in spirit, where you are actually using fewer chemicals to produce food.
We've been talking, and I want to thank Sarah Davidson Evanega, and the way you get in touch with her, www.allianceforscience.cornell.edu, allianceforscience.cornell.edu, trying to shed light on GMOs and the value they have in helping us reduce the overall burden of pesticides and other chemicals for making sure we have enough food for all of us and food that's economical. We'll be back with the second hour of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.